Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. I'm a wee bit frazzled. We've had a few wee technical hitches this morning, but we've got it there. Anyway, just a few intimations before we get started, if that's okay. So the Rainforest Cafe will be on after worship in the small hall because the shop's still set up. The shop will continue until Wednesday, so remember, go down and have a wee look and get your last minute bargains. And the cafe will be on tomorrow, Monday, and Wednesday again in the small hall. Mainly music is going to be on this week, but it'll be in the bank hall tomorrow for this week only. And, no, sorry, that's the knit and natter. That's the knit and natter. The mainly music will be in the small hall on Tuesday. And Planet Earth isn't back this week till the shop gets cleared away, that's fine. The prayer box is at the back of the church for anybody that would like to make use of it. We would encourage you to use it. I've had a thank you from Janice and Clark Govan from Brayhead, who are much appreciative of our prayer for them. Clark's doing much better, which is really great news. I'm really pleased to hear that. So he's doing much better, and he's not to go back for 4 months for an appointment, so he's doing really well. So the power of prayer. We said to thank everybody very much that's prayed for him. And the other intimation I was just going to bring to your attention is the presbytery meeting. So the presbytery plan. We're now at the stage where we're going to have another presbytery meeting, and it's on the 27th of April. But the formalities of it, we have to, we've got to formally invite every congregation. So Jim is our presbytery elder, and he's going to read that out to you just now. And one final thank you from Stuart and Eleanor for their flowers last week for their anniversary. Thanks, Eleanor. There
you go. Now for the legal bit. The congregation of 4 St Paul's is hereby cited to attend for their interest at the meeting of the presbytery called for the specific purpose of receiving and approving the draft presbytery mission plan on Saturday, 27th of April 2024 at 9:30 a.m. at DL St Andrew's Parish Church, the cross 4347 Mary Street, Mullowell, and online. At this meeting of the presbytery will take up consideration of the report of the Mission Plan Action Group, including the draft presbytery mission plan. The congregation is cited to attend for their interest by sending a maximum of 3 individuals in addition to those who are members of presbytery and is entitled to respond to the report through the contribution of 1 person representing the congregation. Although it says 9:30, we're part of the South area and we won't be heard before 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So unless you want to attend for the whole meeting, we'll not be heard before 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Thank you.
I greet you in the name of God the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Christ Jesus. May it be that we receive mercy, peace, and love. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to our communion service this morning. Mike, our intro moderator, has asked me to help him with a funeral. The lady that passed away is called Rita Russell, and her funeral will be on the 18th of April. McAllister's funeral directors in Wishaw are conducting this funeral. I'm not sure if you are familiar with this lady, but I would like to ask the congregation just to pray for Rita Russell and her family during this difficult time. I also got the impression that Mike is under a lot of work at the moment, so I think it will be good if we pray for him as well. I'm very grateful to help him out with this specific funeral. Loneliness can be understood as a disease. To be lonely in life can be a terrible thing. In other words, to be alone can cause symptoms of depression and anxiety. We as humans are made, we are created by God to be in fellowship. Meaningful connections with others are vital for good health. To be long and to know you are connected to others motivates health, and it motivates a good sense of well-being. Fellowship with friends and the sense of belonging are important for mental wellness. One of the big disasters of the lockdown was the fact that we couldn't connect. We couldn't go out and speak to one another as we always usually did. Thank God we had something like the internet to connect with one another virtually. But still, the loneliness is a terrible thing, especially during lockdown. The Bible reading teaches us about fellowship with other Christians. It motivates Christians to be in fellowship, to be connected with one another. Christian fellowship is not just about connection between us, but it is also about connection to God. Christian fellowship is about connections with us, with one another, and also to Almighty God. John, in our reading, states that fellowship with God is a reality when we walk in the light. So how do we know we are in fellowship with God? We know when we walk in the light. And this entails confessing our sins, to be honest and open. When we are honest, open, confess our sins, we try to live in the light, then we are in fellowship with God. To be in such a fellowship with one another and God is made possible by the forgiveness of sins. We may thank Him and call unto Him who is the catalyst for us to be in fellowship. So let's start calling to the Lord and ask Him to open our hearts and our minds so that we may approach Him to forgive our sins. Let us approach with our call to worship. Give thanks to the Lord. Call unto the Lord. Let us worship God, and we will be singing our first hymn, Father Eternal, Ruler of Creation. Let us approach God as we pray together. Lord, thank you for walking with us. It is an honor to be in fellowship with you. Thank you for choosing us, Lord, and thank you for wanting to walk the journey of life with us. Thank you for choosing us. Although we might feel alone, we may know we belong. We belong to you, Lord. We belong to you, and so too we belong to the Christian community. Thank you that we may be in fellowship with one another and also with you, Almighty God. Help us to create meaningful connections with one another, connections that are based on trust and on honesty. You know, Lord, that many struggle with mental illness in this country, and the reasons can be plenty, but one of the reasons is loneliness. Lord, may we be a church here in Forth where we are welcome those who are lonely, that we are we have open arms for those who are struggling with mental illness and mental difficulties. May we be people that is open to be with fellowship with those who are broken and downtrodden. Lord, may your church be a place where the downtrodden and the empty may find rest. May this be a community where people may find rest and a sense of peace. Help us to be friends with one another, friends that is trustworthy and friendship that will last forever. Thank you for the fellowship that we may have with one another. Give us the courage to be the light. You are the light, and we realize the importance of sharing the light with others. May we share the light of you, Lord, with others, especially those going through difficult times. We bring to light all our sins and our feelings of guilt. We confess that we do not always admit our mistakes. We confess that we do not always recognize our own sins. We confess that we do not confess as often as we should. Forgive us if we are self-righteous. Forgive us if we are self-entitled. We ask that you help us to first look at ourselves for mistakes before we point our fingers to others. We say sorry, Lord, and we take responsibility for all the different aspects of our lives. May we feel and know that we have received your forgiveness, and may we live knowing that we are forgiven. We look to you, Lord Jesus, as you are the advocate with the Father. Thank you for representing us in heaven. May a new day and a new morning start for us, knowing that our sins are forgiven. We pray this in the name of the Triune God. Amen. Let us continue worshiping God with the following hymn, Morning Has Broken. I remember as a wee boy, my grandmother gave me a little card. And this card was a bookmark for my Bible. And unfortunately, I lost this little card, but I clearly still remember the picture on it. And it really almost looks like that picture. But the only difference is there was no man walking. There was footpaths. And the card was this beautiful scene of a path, but you didn't see the man walking. You just saw the foot marks, so the feet marks going forward into the horizon. And the passage in the little card was a bit of a lament, but also a lament, but with that a bit of hope and some insight into a healthy way of understanding how God interacts with us. And the lament was about this person walking on this road, and he was looking back and he saw these footpaths, these foot markings in the sand, and was going on like into the horizon. And he had a difficult time, this individual, and he was saying to God, "Yeah, God, look, you've never been with me. Like, I was walking this path and I can see the footmarks, and where were you? Like, you say you are with me constantly, but I'm looking back and I'm not seeing you walking next to me. There's just one set of footmarks." And then God appeared to him and said to him, "Hey, listen, those foot markings is not yours. That's mine. I was carrying you the whole way." And there's a beautiful, striking image of how God interacts with us. If we feel alone and we think, yes, we're walking this path all alone, you know, God is carrying us. If we look at all the signs in life, those are signs of God being interacting with us, engaging with us. And I think that's a beautiful image to think of, especially if you go through difficult times, let's say cancer, illness, depression, you can name all the things, sadness, anything. During those times, you can understand God is, during those times, He is carrying us. It might not feel like it. We can look back in our lives, we think, "Yo, there's just one footmarks." You know, you think, "Oh, that's just mine." But in actual fact, no, God is actually carrying you and He's creating the footmarks. And I think that's maybe a beautiful way of a different mindset, is to notice in life those times where you see and experience the blessing of God, especially during a difficult time, to think, "Yo, it might be small. There is God. There God revealed Himself and demonstrated that He is carrying me." Even in my life, I was mentioning in the pulpit, lockdown for me, especially the second part of lockdown, was difficult. We were just moved from North Scotland into this area, and the first year was great, but the second year was difficult. And one of the reasons was that the fact that there was no fellowship, you know, there was just no connection. I started my probation in Airdrie. I didn't know anyone. And that was a difficult time. But even with that, there were small little seeds of blessings during that time. You know, cards being sent to us, even though I don't even know the people, they just send cards to us supporting and motivating us. And that was God's small little blessings during difficult times. But I think it's just a mindset of noticing these things. Looking back, you think maybe, "Oh, that's your footmarks in the sand." But how do we know? Maybe that's God's footmarks in your life, carrying you through those difficult times. So God loves us, and we believe that. And let's sing about the love of Jesus. Those able, let's stand and sing a beautiful hymn, "Jesus Loves Me." Our Bible reading will be from 1 John, verses 1 till 2, chapter 2.
The incarnation of the Word of Life. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the Word of Life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make overjoy complete. Light and darkness, sin and forgiveness. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim to have no sin, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen.
John shares his experience and his understanding of God in this reading. The scripture of old and a new and fresh meaning to him. What he was taught when he was younger from the Old Testament had a fresh and new meaning to him. This new insight he wanted to communicate to others. He had the urge to communicate this fresh understanding of God. They wanted to testify. In other words, they wanted to be testimonies of their spiritual transformation. What they have seen and heard had to be shared. And that's why we have this letter, how many thousands of years later, still sharing the good news. There was an opportunity to participate in a newly established fellowship. The fellowship entailed participating in a community that had a godly connection. So it wasn't just a normal community of people coming together. No, this community had a connection to heaven. Two dimensions of fellowship are revealed to us in this reading. The first is with the community, and secondly is with God the Father through the Son. It was this new opportunity to belong that John was so excited about. He was excited that there's a possibility for people to belong in a community, but also to belong to the God in heaven. He was excited to share the possibility of belonging to a community that was also connected to God. We can think of such people as a spiritual, spirit-filled community, or a holy people. Isn't this beautiful? To belong to a community that's spirit-filled and who are holy. John was excited to share the joys of such fellowship. To be part of a Christian fellowship is a joyful occasion. It is a joyful experience to be part of a holy community. I went once to a church service a couple of years ago. The service was excellent. And all the facets of the service I thought was absolutely brilliant. But there was one thing that struck me, and was the minister never smiled. He didn't smile once. The minister did not smile. And I thought to myself after that experience, we as the clergy and as the Christian community need to remind one another to smile. To smile. Smiling at the appropriate time is so powerful. Yes, there is services, and there is many occasions that one has to be more serious, and there is time for that. But we should not forget to be joyful. The reason for us to be joyful is because of the message, God is light, and that we are part of that light. Therefore, we may be happy. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. When we are in fellowship with God, we participate in this light. If we embrace darkness, then we do not participate in the fellowship with God and one another. And I think something about the smile suggests that there is light. Someone who frowns and who's downtrodden, who doesn't smile, there's something dark there. And I have a tendency to say to someone, listen, stand up and smile. Life is great. God of light is in your life. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. When we are in fellowship with God, we participate in the light. If we embrace darkness, then we do not participate in the fellowship with God and in one another. But what does it mean? What does it mean to be in the light? What does it mean to be in the darkness? Darkness and light are connected to our understanding of sin. And this John reading is one of the few readings in the Bible that really highlights the meaning of sin and why it's important to understand it. So this whole idea of darkness and light is connected to our understanding of sin. When you take responsibility for your sin, then you are in the light. If you embrace your sin and you take responsibility for that, then you are in the light. If you do not take responsibility for your sin, then you are in the darkness. And this beautifully comes through in our reading. If you embrace your sin and you take responsibility, you're in the light. If you don't do it, you're in the darkness. A healthy understanding of sin is important when we consider fellowship with one another and with God. It's important to define what sin means for you and me in our lives. To understand what sin is, you need to start with yourself and ask yourself, what is sin in my life? What is it? How does it look like? Have I noticed it somewhere in my life? What is it for me? What does it mean for me? I think the old model, I presume, the old preaching model was the minister gave a picture of what sin is, and he sort of forced it onto the congregation and saying, okay, because of the following, you are now sinners. But I think it's more relevant and more appropriate for our time is for me as a minister to say, but you decide what sin is. Go to where you are and think about it, journal, contemplate it, decide for yourself what is sin really for you. It's a process process that entails unpacking and defining what sin is for my own life. This leads to honesty. So if you start defining what sin is in your life, this leads to honesty. Honesty with yourself. Honesty with the relevant people in your life. and also with God. Doing this will place us in the light. Truthfulness, honesty, and openness makes fellowship with one another and God possible. Owning up for personal sins are good indicators of maturity. Christians take responsibility for personal sins by being frank with one another and taking it up with God. God, I'm sorry. I have the tendency of doing that. I'm sorry. A healthy understanding of sin has nothing to do with self-condemnation or promoting a low self-image. And I think this is maybe where it goes wrong. If you suggest that sin is something that condemns and creates a self, low self-image, I don't think that is the way to think about sin. Personal sin should be understood in the light of truth and the willingness to strive to be better. It's about being really honest with yourself and realistic. It's about being a better wife, a better husband, a better friend, a better brother or sister. It's about being a better child for God. The reading states that sin, in its essence, is not to acknowledge our own sins. And this is where the reading also beautifully puts it out. So what is the core essence of sin? The core essence of sin is when you say, I don't have any sins. That is sinful. Modern day examples of such phenomena of saying, listen, I don't have any sins, are self-righteousness and also self-entitlement. It is a self-orientation that presumes that the world needs to change for me and I. It is an orientation that wants others to change with no willingness to change yourself. It reminds me of a story where a minister wanted to bless and speak success over a person's business. The person refused to accept the blessing because it was not needed. The minister was not needed for the minister to bless his business. Everything was already in place and successful because the person was in himself already a god. The person was so godly that he didn't even needed a blessing from the minister. To have such an invincible attitude is not to be realistic. He or she will not believe, even if you bring facts, proof, and evidence of that person's mistakes and shortcomings. If you show that person, listen, you're not so perfect. You've got a lot of things going on that is not that good. And you show them, the person, the proofs and the facts, they won't believe it. That person will not believe it. It is rather likely that they will say the following: oh, they are against me. They are the problem. They should take responsibility, not I. I can do no wrong. To be people of the light means to be honest and truthful with oneself and with one another and with God. It means to climb off our high horse and acknowledge in the presence of God with hands lifted high, saying, God, I need your forgiveness and I need your guidance. I'm not that perfect. The beauty of taking responsibility for one's actions is that is what we receive in return. And this is something I really want to highlight in this service, because I don't want you to go out here saying, yes, the minister preached about sin, I feel so bad about myself now. Not at all. I want you to feel good about yourself leaving, when you leave. The beauty of taking responsibility of our own sin is what we receive in return. God does not condemn or chase us away. If we go to God and say, listen, God, I'm sorry what I've done, he will not condemn us. Rather, he will forgive us. He will embrace us. In other words, God gives us another chance to be better, to fix, or even try a different way. Jesus cleans us when we are willing to be cleaned. Jesus cleans us if we are willing to be cleaned. So you hear the from the both sides, you know, Jesus wants to clean us, but we need to be willing to be cleaned. And it starts from a point of being open and honest and truthful with our own sins and our own mistakes. We may then, with confidence, confess our sins. The confidence is in the hope and reassurance that Jesus is representing us in heaven. Jesus is representing us, and we may know we have a confidant in heaven representing us, who has our back. As we approach the table of our Lord, we share in a new understanding of God. And this new understanding is about God forgiving, being open, willing to accept us for who we are, full of sin, full of our mistakes. The understanding is that we are in a holy fellowship with one another, and in a holy fellowship with God. We are connected with one another in a special sort of way. We may testify of our spiritual transformation, making us joyful. We are transformed through the blood of Christ. We are transformed through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we may be full of joy. Happiness is part of who we are, because we live in the light of God. May we be open towards one another and to God. May God search us and clean our hearts and minds, so that we may be holy and pure in His presence. Amen. Our offerings will now be received. At the last verse, we will approach the table to start our communion service. The table is prepared. The meal is ready. The Lord offers us bread. The Lord offers us wine. His body was broken. His blood was shed. For me, for you, for us. The table is prepared. The meal is ready. The Lord is here. As the Lord, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart from all common use, to this holy use and mystery. And as our Lord gave thanks and blessed, let us draw now near to God in prayer. Lord, thank you that we may be in fellowship with one another and also in fellowship with you. Lord, thank you that we are in the light. We are grateful that we can be truthful, honest with you, knowing that you will accept us and you will love us. Holiness and mystery are surrounding us. We are grateful that we may praise you, and we may praise you with knowing that children from past and present were praising you. With the angels we sing and utter, "Holy, holy, holy, Hosanna in the highest." Truly you are great, Lord. God the Father, you have remembered us. You have not turned your back on us. You did not turn away. You embraced us. Jesus the Son, you have revealed the love of the Father to us. You have made forgiveness of our sins possible. Holy Spirit, you are present among us, and you comfort us in our circumstances. Bless this meal that we will share in your presence. This wine and the bread reminds us of the goodness and the sweetness of your might. Make your presence be felt in this moment as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. According to the holy institution, example, and command of our Lord Jesus, and as a memorial of our Lord, we do the following. On the night when he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in memory of me." Take, this is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Eat and taste to remember him. This cup is the new covenant, sealed by Christ's blood, which was shed so that the sins of many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Please share the peace with one another. We will now have our prayer of thanksgiving and prayer for others.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship and remembering the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that you hear us when we call out to you. When troubles come, you give us strength. When our distress seems never-ending, you are our quiet center. When injustice rages, you offer your peace. When nights seem endless, you still our frightened hearts. When we feel weak and lame, you raise us up to new life in you. You put gladness in our hearts. You give us a hope and a future. Gracious God, we give you thanks. Loving God, we bring our broken, unjust, and warring world to you today. We long to see your justice and peace on earth as it is in heaven. We long to see people flourishing wherever they may be. We long to see your righteousness flood our world. We thank you, God, that you hear our concerns, that you are deeply aware of what's in our hearts. You care about the needs of the world and its people. Lord, teach us how to pray and what to pray for. We ask that you would bring peace and safety to the war-torn places of the world. We pray for peace in Gaza, Ukraine, and Sudan, and other places we know of as individuals. And we pray you would bring an end to the killing of the innocent. Protect those who have become refugees due to conflict, and guide them to a safe haven. And be with those who seek to bring them relief. As we rejoice in the fellowship we have with you, we pray for all those working to bring peace, reconciliation, hope, and healing in all the broken places of our world. Supply all their needs and strengthen them, we pray. Encourage them and fill them with hope and resilience. Here we pray for the royal family, the UK government, those in government in Wales, Northern Ireland and Scotland. And we also pray for all who serve in local government. Grant wisdom, grace, love and vision to all those who serve as our leaders. And may they serve with integrity. Lord God, you have placed your church strategically on earth to be salt and light to the earth, and to bring the good news of our Lord Jesus, crucified and risen, to all people. Strengthen our resolve, faith, and confidence to be your church and to speak powerfully in your name. Help our church here, we pray, to be a place of acceptance and belonging, a place of welcome and inclusion, where all can find a home, a listening ear, a friendly smile, and a helping hand. We pray for the leaders in our church here and those who lead the various groups. Bless those who work among our young people, and may they all experience your enabling and wisdom in all they do. God our Father, bless those who are lonely, sad, fearful, or in despair. Comfort them by your Holy Spirit and bring others alongside to help. Fill our hearts with the assurance of your forgiveness. We pray for the family of Rita Russell that you would comfort them at this time, and may they draw close to you in their time of sorrow. We pray for the many who grieve through various forms of loss. In their sorrow and loss, speak words of compassion and restoration, either directly through your Spirit or through other people, and bring comfort to the dying and to those caring for them. Guide us in the ways of justice and courage, every step of our journey. And may your vision and hope for the world infect all we do. Send us forth this day with the joy that no one can take from us, the life which is your life, and the hope that gives strength to our actions. As we leave this place, may we keep in step with you, walking humbly, seeking justice, living faithfully, bringing your peace and wholeness to a broken and unjust world. Help us to live the life of Christ so that everyone will see your love in everything we do. Amen.
Our last hymn that we'll be singing is Lord of All Hopefulness. We will be singing this whilst the table is cleaned. With one another and with God, we may testify of our spiritual transformation. Go with a joyful heart, knowing we live in the light of God. Be truthful and confess your sins with the confidence that we will receive forgiveness from God. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus.